Good morning. Welcome to ACC. We are privileged to have all of you join us for Sunday service this morning online. First of all, congratulations again to the families that are that just dedicated their children. We are really excited to see what God has in store for each of your children and just the purposes and plans that He has for them. And we are praying for you. We are praying with you. We are standing with you and supporting you as best as we can. To see your children fulfill the plans and purposes that God has for them. And just another note, Calvin and Anita, if you would like Charlotte to come over to my place, she can come at any time and pick up any things that she wants from our house and clean up my place. I would like to invite you for multiple play dates, okay? Thank you. We are going through this sermon series called Essentials. It's from the book of 1 John. So if you can make your way to 1 John chapter 2, we're going to be reading from verses 7 to 14 this morning. So go ahead and make your way there. And just want to highlight that this morning I'm actually going to be using the New Living Translation, the NLT. Normally I use the ESV, the English Standard Version, but I felt that the passage this morning, the NLT, presented better in terms of the English translation. So if you don't have the NLT translation, maybe just find a Bible app and use the NLT, but I think we also have a slide that shows the NLT translation, but just want to give you a heads up with that. As you're making your way to that passage, let me just start off by sharing a quick story. When I was a very young boy, I remember going out with my dad, and he got his shoes shined, and I was very intrigued by what was happening as he was sitting there, and this man was just polishing and shining his shoes, and it was just really amazing what this guy did. I mean, it's not like my dad's shoes were that old, but it wasn't shiny or new at all. So this guy meticulously, you know, just kind of buffed it and polished it and shined and used all the equipment necessary to do it. And it must have been, I don't even know how long. It took a while, but I remember just kind of kneeling or just leaning onto the platform and just watching this guy just take his time. After it was done, and I was just looking at these shoes that looked so completely different, it was shining so bright and clean. And I remember as my dad paid the guy and then we were walking away, my dad said, "Wow, you are really interested in what was happening." And I said, "Yeah, I'd never seen it before." And then he tells me this. My dad says, "It's useless to shine your shoes and leave it inside the closet or on the shoe rack. You want to shine your shoes and then be able to wear it so that people will see it." Then my dad proceeds to just start strutting down the street with his shiny shoes. And you know what? Almost everybody saw those shoes. I mean, it truly stood out. Whatever my dad was wearing that day, his shoes truly stood out. I mean, people were looking down at those shoes. It's not like they were like $2,000 pair of shoes. It's not like it was diamond studded shoes. They're just ordinary pair of shoes, but it was definitely shiny. And your eyes couldn't help but to look down and see it. We live in a world today where darkness prevails, and it's prevailing heavily. And every nook and cranny of what we call life, this darkness is seeping through, and it's just invading our very souls. And we are seeing it more and more in our own country as we are battling the injustices, as we are battling the prejudices and the biases and the racism and all of these things that are just coming from every angle, from every crevice, from every hole of our lives, and it's just penetrating in and through our hearts, and we are realizing that we have this anger and hate against one another. Whether it's the color of our skin, whether it's the different cultures or ethnicities, whether it's the socioeconomic levels that many of us belong in, and we use those against one another. Darkness is prevailing. Sin is engulfing us. And unfortunately, many Christians, many followers of Christ have felt that this is their opportunity to spew out their own hatred, to spew out their own anger against other groups, against other people. And when I hear people just easily say that we are battling the Kung Flu virus, that is putting me down. That is putting many Asian communities down. And yet, when I see Christians actually laughing alongside that joke and participating in that joke, it just shows once again just kind of the prejudices and the hatred that is just so real in our lives today. Church, we are called to shine. It's useless if we are the body of Christ that God has saved, that God has transformed, that God has buffed up and changed us and transformed us forever, and yet we have decided that we will just remain in the closet. That the shine, the light of Christ that is in us, we have decided that we would rather remain in the closet, we would rather remain on the shoe rack, we would rather remain in the Christian kind of bubble. But you know what? And my dad was so right on this. We are not called to shine inside the closet. We are not called to shine on the shoe rack. We are not called to shine inside the Christian bubble. We are called to shine out there in the world that is filled with darkness, that is filled with evil, that is filled with sin. We are called to shine the light of Christ in that sphere, in that realm, in that environment. One of the essential components of the Christian faith is this idea that the light of Christ is in us, and God has called us to shine His light, to shine His love, to shine His truth in a broken world, in a very divided world, in a very angry world, in a very hateful world, in a world that is so separated from the love of Christ, so separated from the purpose of God. The essential truth is that we are called to shine in those environments. So this morning, I'm going to be reading from 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 to 14. And again, remembering this essential truth that we all should live by. Verses 7 to 14. And we're going to try to answer three questions this morning. First of all, if the essential truth is that we are called as a body of believers to shine the light of Christ, then specifically, what are we called to shine? What exactly is it? And secondly, what about it? What about shining that truth? How do we know that it's actually going to work? How do we actually know that it's going to be successful? Or in other words, why do we need to shine it? The first one is, what are we shining forth? Second one is, why do we shine it in the first place? And third, what happens when we choose not to shine it? When we choose not to be the light of God's hope in this world. So hopefully this morning we're going to be answering these three questions, and it's found in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 to 14. So please read along with me. Dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the very beginning. This old commandment, to love one another, is the same message you heard before. Yet, it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you are living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. If anyone claims, "I am living in the light," but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by that darkness. Let me pause there. Let's answer these three questions. First of all, what are we called to shine? It's very clear in verse 7 that we are called to love one another. How appropriate is this essential truth in our lives today, in our lives, to love one another? This is something that the churches in the first century were being reminded of, that this is not a new commandment that you haven't heard before. This is an old commandment. This has been taught by the living God ever since the beginning of time. In fact, when the nation of Israel was slowly being formed and God was bringing them out of slavery into the promised land, one of the essential truths that he taught Israel, that he taught the Israelite, was love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. This is not a new commandment for the early church. This is an old commandment. And yet, in verse 8, John reminds the churches, but it's also a new commandment. Why? Because Jesus was able to live out this truth, was able to live out this essential of this commandment. And we had an opportunity to witness it. We have an opportunity to read it in Scripture, how Jesus loved other people. Even though it was an old commandment that was taught from the beginning, yet Jesus qualitatively lived this out for us to learn and for us to model after. How did Jesus love one another? Let me give you some examples. He loved the lepers, the people who were considered unclean, the people who were considered on the outside. No one wanted to touch them. No one wanted to talk with them. Jesus loved them. The Samaritans, the Samaritan woman. The Jews considered the Samaritans half-breed. They were half Jews and half Gentiles. The Jewish nation saw them and said, "No, we don't want to have anything to do with you. You are not real Jews." And yet Jesus, who was a Jewish man, reached out and talked and invited and had a relationship with the Samaritan people. In fact, he had an amazing story about the Samaritan man who saw a Jewish man robbed and dying and about to die, whereas a priest and a Levite passed by this Jewish man and decided not to help. A Samaritan man who had every reason not to help this Jewish man because of his love for another, chose to love this Jewish man instead. Jesus loved everybody. He fed the 5,000 men, women, and children who congregated to listen to the words of Jesus, ran out of food. And Jesus, showing his love for them, gathered some bread and gathered some fish and prayed for it. And lo and behold, a miracle takes place and everyone was fed. It wasn't just barely enough. It was overflowing with food. And Jesus loved his enemies. Even though the Pharisees and the Sadducees went against him, he loved them. He said, "The physician did not come to earth to save those who were already well. He came and saved those who were sick." And even though his enemies and his opponents did everything they could, even nailing him to the cross, Jesus died even for them. You see, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love one another, is an old commandment that God has set forth as an essential truth ever since the beginning. And yet it's also new because Jesus qualitatively showed us what that actually looked like. And church, what are we to shine in the 21st century? What are we to shine in our lives today? We are to shine God's love to one another. We are to shine his love to our enemies, to our opponents. We are called to shine our love to the needy, to the poor, to those that have no food to eat. We are called to love one another, to those who are very different from us. I am called to love others who look very different from me, who are not Chinese, who are not Asians, who are different ethnicity, different cultures, who are not middle class. I need to love the rich. I need to love the poor. I need to love those in my socioeconomic level. God is calling me, and God is calling us. If we are to shine, we are to love one another. And like I said, in light of what is happening in our lives and in our country today, this is so appropriate that God is speaking this truth to us today. We are to love the Black community. We are to stand alongside them. We are to care for them when they are beaten down, when they are broken, when they are kicked, when they have no more hope. Church, we are called to love on them and to risk it all for them because God loves them as well. What are we to shine? We are to shine love for one another. Now, why? Why are we to shine this? I mean, what's the guarantee that this is all going to work out? What is the guarantee that if you do, in fact, live out God's love to other people, how do we know it's going to work? And the answer to that second question is found in verse 8. Look at the end of verse 8. For the darkness is disappearing and the true light is already shining. In other words, how do we know this is going to work? Because Jesus is already victorious. He has won the battle against Satan. Yes, the things that we are looking at now, the things that we are witnessing now, it's darkness. It is pure evil. It is injustice that breaks the very heart of God. But yet we are also reminded in verse 8 that though Satan is doing his work and he's bringing division and he's harming and hurting, know this, church. This is the promise of God. What he is doing is dissipating. What he is doing is slowly fading away. For the love of God continues to shine while all things fade away. We are reminded from that song that we sang this morning. Satan is losing, and he's losing the war. He thinks he's winning. He thinks he has us conquered. But you know what? The true light, Jesus Christ, is already shining. It's a present, and it's progressive. It's moving forward. It is shining even in our midst right now. You may think, or you may not be able to see it, but God is winning every single moment of every single battle. As Satan is doing all he can, but he is slowly losing. The true light, Jesus, is healing. He is restoring. He is bringing justice. He is ushering his righteousness. He is ushering his holiness. And it's happening in the present moment. It is happening in our present life. And it's progressing more and more in the future, not just in this moment, but tomorrow, tomorrow afternoon, the next day, the next day, the next month, the next year, until he comes back and fully establishes the new heaven and the new earth. Why do we need to shine? Because we have already won. So church, don't give up the fight. persevere. Believe in what God has promised us. Do not give up, even though there will be those days where Satan is just pushing you down and holding you to the ground, and he's laughing at you and he's cursing at you and he's saying, see, you're not going to win this. But even in those very moments, you pray to the Lord and you believe in verse 8 in 1 John 2. No matter what he is doing, he will not prevail against you. God will win the battle for you. God is victorious. He has been victorious, and he will continue to be victorious for your life. So whatever the situation you are in at this very moment, maybe it's what's happening in our country, and you are engaged in the very fight against racial injustice. And maybe there are days when you feel spent, you feel like there is no hope. You persevere because of this. Maybe you're going through some family issues and family troubles right now. Maybe there is one family member against another family member and it's just draining everyone. Maybe you are one of those members who have something against someone else and it's draining and it's hurting and it's dividing the family. Don't give up. Seek for forgiveness. Or maybe you see other family members fighting. Don't give up, but persevere. Know that whatever Satan is doing in your family's life, it slowly will dissipate. It will slowly just disappear. And instead, God's true light, the light of Jesus, he will shine. He will illumine. He will become so bright in your family's life. But you need to persevere. You need to pray. You need to intercede. You need to continue to do the work that God has called you to do in the sphere of your family's life. You need to love one another. So what is it that we need to shine? We need to love one another. We need to love our opponents. We need to love our neighbors. We need to love those who are hurting us. We need to love those that we may not have an understanding of, but we need to reach out and understand them and learn from them and listen from them. We need to love all. How do we know if this is going to work at all? Well, we know because Jesus is already victorious. And his purpose for each one of us to love will be perfectly completed when he comes back and when he establishes this new heaven and new earth. Now, what will happen if we choose not to love one another? What if we choose not to shine? What if we choose to be that kind of shoe that God has saved, God has transformed, but we choose to actually just be in the closet? It's safe. It's comfortable. No one's going to harm us there. What if we choose to just be on the shoe rack because it's easy, it's peaceful? What if we choose to be a church, a body of believers that God has saved and God has changed and God has reconciled back to himself, and we choose to just be, and we choose not to engage in the very brokenness that is taking place in this world? For John, he now takes this essential truth of loving one another and he applies it to what was happening in the churches in the first century. And if you remember again, the background to 1 John was because a lot of false teaching is beginning to creep into the church. A lot of false teachers are teaching things that are not the truth, that are not the essential, the foundational truths of the gospel. And it's beginning to divide the church. Believers are now beginning to go against other believers. So John is using this essential truth of loving one another, and now he's beginning to apply it to the churches in the first century. And he's also encouraging us to apply it in our lives today. Look, verse 9 to verse 11. He says, you can't say that you are living in the light, but then hate a fellow believer. You can't say that you know God. If you remember last week, we looked at verses 1 to 6. In verse 4, it even says, you can't claim that you know God, and then you choose not to obey his commandments. John is now applying it to the churches. In verse 9, he's saying, How can you say that you know God? How can you say that you are living in the light? How can you say that Jesus is in you, but then you don't obey God's commands? You don't love your fellow believers, that you actually hate them. How can you say that Jesus is in you, that Jesus is shining in you, and yet you're causing others to stumble by the hatred and anger that you have against another believer? He's saying, churches in the first century, what are you doing? You're letting these false teachings divide you and separate you from the love of God. And the way that's being lived out is that you're hating one another. You're putting down one another. You're shaming each other. You are telling another person in Christ, you are not a believer. You are not following God. I hate you. I don't want to have anything to do with your life. Church, how many of us are engaged in that at this very moment? You may be saying, okay, yeah, I can follow what God is calling me to do. I can shine his love to the world. And yet, there is someone in church right now that you despise. There is someone in church right now that you hate. There is someone that you think might have wronged you, and now you're not talking to them. Or maybe you're gossiping against them. Church, if we can't even love one another here in the context of a Christian community, how in the world will we be able to love our opponents who are not believers? How in the world are we able to love our neighbors? How in the world are we able to love the stranger? How? If we can't even love people in God's church. You see, John makes it very applicable for the early churches. He's saying, look, I see what is happening. You say you live in the light, but you don't love the fellow believer. You hate them. You're choosing to live in the spirit of darkness. You are choosing to walk in the spirit of darkness. In verse 11, it's very clear what that looks like. If you are choosing to live in darkness, you know what? First, you're choosing not to shine and not to follow through on God's commandments. Secondly, you're blinded. If you're living in darkness, you are walking in darkness. How in the world do you know what you're doing? You can't see because the evil and sin and injustices that Satan has on us blinds us. We can't see. We don't know what is happening. We don't know. We think we're walking in the right direction, but we're not. And we're causing ourselves to stumble, and we're causing others to stumble as well. So, church, if you really believe that our calling to shine in this world is to love one another, and if you believe that God has won the victory for us so that we can be hopeful to persevere and to remain steadfast in loving one another, then the question for us is, are we even living that out in the context of the church? If we're not, then we are bringing division into the church. If we hate one another, then we are bringing the cracks in. We are bringing the stumbling in. We are tricking people into falling for traps so that they will be hurt, so that they will be harmed. And that has nothing to do with shining the love of Christ. This is the detriment of what will happen if we choose to live in darkness instead of living in the light. So I want to end with this. It's verses 12 to 14. And I just love how this is written. Again, John is saying, church, know who you are. Know who you are, because your identity in Christ will tell you what you should do. And if you are going to say that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, then the application of that love of God is to love one another. So he reminds the churches in verses 12 to 14, and obviously he's reminding us today. Listen to this. I am writing to you who are God's children, because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I am writing to you who are mature in the faith, because you know Christ, who existed from the beginning. I am writing to you who are young in the faith, because you have won your battle with the evil one. I have written to you who are God's children, because you know the Father. I have written to you who are mature in the faith, because you know Christ, who existed from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith, because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts, and you have won your battle with the evil one. ACC, you are God's children. You already know that your sins have been forgiven. You have been saved. God has won the battle for you. You have won the battle against the evil one, and you know that. ACC, you are mature in your faith. You know who this Jesus is and what he stands for. He stands for salvation. He stands for his righteous justice. He stands for his mercy. ACC, you know that you are God's children, and God's word lives in your heart. You know his truth. So let it shine. Let it be lived out. You are strong. You are courageous. You have the word in you. So you walk that straight path. Don't go to the left or don't lean to the right. Walk the very straight path that God has set for you. You know that God has called you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So let that shine. Let that live out. Love one another. Love one another. In a world that needs to see his love, love one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. Such a very applicable word for all of us as we witness the very things that are happening in our country. Because we are just as guilty in engaging injustice and prejudices and biases in this world. We set up walls. We set up divisions. We do say, hey, if you are so-and-so, if you are this and this, you belong on the inside. But if you're not, you're on the outside, and we don't care about you. We are guilty of that. I am guilty of that. On so many levels, Lord, we do that. And we ask for your forgiveness. Remind us again that we are your children, that we have faith in you, and that you have saved us through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. And that we are strong in you, and that we are called to live out a mission to shine your light and your love to this world. So Lord, help us, those of us who make ACC, who call ACC our home, that this is our church body, this is our church home. I pray, Father, that each one of us will shine your light by loving others, by loving the stranger, by loving our neighbors, by loving those who are in need, by loving the widow, by loving the orphan, by loving our enemies, by loving our opponents, and by loving one another here in the Christian community. And let us believe in faith that we have already won, you have already won, and you have already claimed victory. And may that give us hope to persevere, to remain steadfast, and to know that as we continue to love every single moment, whether it's in our own family's life, whether it's with our coworkers, whether it's with our neighbors, whether it's with those who are suffering, whoever they may be, God, I pray that as we live this out, we know that you have already won and you are victorious. And when you come back again and you set your new heaven and new earth, we will rejoice with you in all gladness. So let us not give up. For the sake of your call, let us risk it all for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you again just for joining us for Sunday service. We pray that God's word not only is a blessing to you this morning, but